Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. We're so excited to be joining you. We're here to talk about your dogs, your cats, and maybe even some small critters. Anything you've got a question?
We've got answers for all of it.
The Marty and Laura Show is brought to you by Veterinary Village. With locations throughout Wisconsin, Veterinary Village is dedicated to enhancing the quality of animal and human lives today and into the future.
All right, you guys, welcome. Welcome to the Marty and Laura Show. I am Laura.
And I'm Marty.
And Marty's in like a tornado. So, you know, if it gets a little sketchy, y'all, just know we're doing the best we can. It's the Midwest in the springtime. So
it's Louisville. It's what you get.
It is Louisville. Yes, indeed. Having been there during the tornadoes, I feel you.
The only thing worse is either Oklahoma or St. Louis, but it's
actually the one in Kansas that's in early April. That's pretty sketchy. Yeah. Anyway, the Midwest in the spring is a challenge. And so we're working around our technological goblins and meteorological goblins.
Pouring rain.
Oh,
it's,
good.
Yes, it's a dandy.
It's a humdinger, as they say. So we thought springtime, we've done some spring items, but one of the things that I think as it gets to be spring, we're out more, we want to take our dogs to the pub, we want to do stuff with our dogs. And there's something that I think gets a little sort of lost in translation for folks with their pets about what it means to have a good citizen. A dog that can go into mixed company and not be a complete blithering idiot. Like, I have several of the blithering idiots. I am not casting the first stone.
Right.
It's a thing.
It is. And we're at the dog show, and we were looking at the place we're going to go for dinner. It says, pet dogs welcome. And I'm thinking, they probably don't mean 12 dogs to come in. So, you know, you have to do this in moderation.
Right. Right. And I think the most important part for me is when we talk about canine good citizen, what does that mean? It means to me, and everybody has their own sort of parameters around this. To me, it means walk nicely on a leash, not be dragging people down the sidewalk chasing squirrels, being quiet, right? Not just barking hysterically at people, pets, cars, waitresses, right? And a settle, some kind of a settle command, whether it's a sit or a down or just kind of chill out. And these are all things that we can teach to even the most recalcitrant of our pets. So,
right. And that their toilet habits are good, that
yes.
they don't fail to respect the carpet or
right.
luxury vinyl
just
plank flooring.
Lift their leg wherever is convenient
mm-hmm.
for them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. So those are all pretty important basic skills that your average family pet should obtain and retain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a good recall, a few things are really essential for us to have our dogs behave themselves.
And I do think I run across this frequently, usually most often in like social media posts, but, you know, randomly, even with people who talk to me about buying a dog, people seem to be of the opinion the dog should just do these things automatically of their own accord. Like, poof, magically, I'm fantastic. How's that work in your experience as a veterinarian?
Yeah, not real well. It's right up there with a lot of the other things that people expect. And they say things like, well, he should just come when he's called. Why? Because you're so happy and friendly when you call him and you say, get over here now. Mm-hmm. That doesn't really encourage the dog to mm-hmm. think that you're going to be friendly and mm-hmm. happy to see them when they get there. So you do have to be pretty careful about it. And I do, especially for men, they do seem to struggle a little bit more, I think, with this than women. And I say to them, well, you know, what do you mean your dog doesn't just come when they're called? Well, you know, you've got to pay them to do it. Like, you've got to give them a treat. You've got to teach them to go outside to urinate and have a stool. And they're like, but they should just know that. They should just walk on a leash. No, they don't just know that. And so I'll say to them, well, do you have a job? Well, yeah. Okay, so do you get paid at your job? Well, of course. Okay, so what day is payday for you? Friday? Yeah, Friday. Okay, you get paid every other week? Yeah. And so what would happen if you went to work on the Friday payday and you didn't have a paycheck? Would you go back on Monday? And about half of them say, well, yeah, I probably would give him the benefit of the doubt and, you know, go Monday and see kind of what happened. Maybe there was a mistake. Or are you kidding? The other half say, I'm not going back. They're not paying me. I mean, right now our air traffic controllers aren't getting paid and we still expect them to go to work. So, you know, for our airline safety. Yeah. I mean, I've been all over the world in the last 2 weeks. So it's a really good thing that we still have air traffic control across the world. So you have to realize that you do have to give rewards to the dogs to get them, encourage them, reward them, explain to them, this is the behavior that you're looking for, because just saying good dog isn't really enough for most dogs.
And I think that people, A, expect them to know it. And then if they don't expect them to know it, expect them to learn it, you know, choppy, choppy. Right. And so I think the things that I talk to people about are repetition and repetition in different areas. Sit means sit in the kitchen. Sit does not necessarily mean sit at your brew pub next door or in the park across the street. And so repetition in different places. Paying the dog for a particular behavior that you're asking them for and not asking them for a behavior that they don't know what you're talking about. If you say down and they don't lie down because they don't know what that means, and then you get mad at them, that's not fair to the dog.
Right. Right. And you could speak Swahili, and the louder you speak Swahili to me, that doesn't make me understand you any better. You know, saying in Swahili, you know, where's the restroom doesn't mean much to me, but yelling it at me doesn't improve my understanding of what you're asking me. So I think that's really important. The other thing that's really, really important, and I think a lot of people overlook it, is consistency of using certain terms.
Yes.
Because if you say sit and the next person says sit down and the next person says down and you all mean the same thing, that's getting really confusing. And the dog doesn't understand English well enough to understand the differences. Our dogs don't have AI playing in their heads. They can't interpret all the stuff that you're saying. So if you are using different terms at different times or different family members are using different terms, that's confusing. For my sister, she really had a hard time with me explaining to her that sit means put your bottom on the ground and down means be lying on the ground horizontally and not stop jumping. Stop jumping isn't the same as down. And now you can't jump if you're lying down, but stopping jumping isn't the same as down. And she would try to use the same term. And I'm like, you're an attorney. You have the best command of the English language of anyone else in the whole world. Attorneys are really good with language. And you need to understand that these are different words. Your dog doesn't get it. They're like talking to a two-year-old. You have to be really simple and elementary and repetitious and consistent in what you're asking for so that you do have that opportunity for behavior.
I think the three words that I use are firm, fair, and consistent. So firm doesn't mean mean. People misunderstand that. Firm just means that I meant what I said. If I said, no, don't jump on me, I meant no, don't jump on me every single time. Fair means, does the dog know what I'm asking it to do? And consistent means that the same thing applies every time. If I don't want you to jump on me when I'm in my work clothes on the way out the door, then I shouldn't allow the dog to jump on me when I'm in my pajamas and it's covered in mud.
Or your fun clothes. Yeah,
and
your
dog
jeans.
Doesn't know the difference. Doesn't. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Right. It doesn't. So I think those are really, really important rules for people to understand. And when we talk about Canine Good Citizen, I think the American Kennel Club offers a program that's available to anybody to train their pet how to be a good citizen. And it offers training classes and a testing program that I think is really foundational. So can you talk a little bit about that? I know you just got back from the AKC delegates meeting.
Right. So you mean the CGC, the Canine Good Citizen program. So there is a program that's established by the AKC. It actually gives you a title for your dog. And you don't have to have an AKC registered dog or registerable dog to have that. You can apply for a PAL number, which is a different classification rather than purebred. And then there's a whole structured event called the CGC or the Canine Good Citizenship Test. And we have staff members that are trained to do this. Kennel clubs have staff members that are trained to do this. It's really pretty cool. And it's essentially 10 very basic, fundamental skills that the average well-adjusted, well-behaved, well-trained pet dog should be able to accomplish. And it's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. And when you look through some of it, you're like, wow, you know, this should be obvious. And for other things, it's really not as obvious. So It's things like sitting to be petted. Well, you know, many dogs know how to do that, but not all. But things like walking through a crowd, mm-hmm. or walking past somebody with a walker or a cane or a bicycle or an umbrella or some of those things aren't always obvious. Mm-hmm. You know, you think that your dog understands this stuff, and then they meet someone that they've never met before that's carrying an umbrella over their head, or wearing a different hat, or pushing a walker, or using a wheelchair. And that doesn't translate always. So mm-hmm. these are the skills that they expect you to train your dog for before you take the CGC test. And once you take it, you can put those three little letters behind your dog's name, and you can have a title on your dog. Even if it's a PAL dog, even if it's not an AKC dog, it's okay. You can still do this stuff. And I think it's really valuable.
I think it's amazing. Our kennel club does it every single year. They offer three or four training days where the instructors walk everybody through the various, you know, testing spots, the greet a stranger and the stay from far away and some of those things. And so they help the people train their dogs to do the specific things, and then they offer the test. And it's not expensive. It's a great way to meet other pet owners. And it is a fantastic tool for making sure that when you go hang out with your friends at a barbecue, that your dog is not a raging lunatic. And just because right. you think it's cute doesn't mean everybody else does.
Right. And, you know, it's one thing if your 4-pound Yorkie jumps on somebody. That can be kind of cute. It's really not disruptive. It's really not harmful. But if your 140-pound St. Bernard jumps on somebody with big muddy feet and knocks them over into mm-hmm. a puddle and they have a concussion from falling over, it's not so cute. So absolutely, this is something that can be really uniformly applied. And, you know, for instance, there are places that you can take your dog in the Milwaukee area where they have a bar and they have it set up for dogs. And you have to pay like $20 to even go in to the facility because they have a dog wrangler there for everybody that brings a dog. That's how
that's kind of cool.
Low their expectations are that your dog will behave themselves there is they literally limit the number of dogs that come in to the number of people that are there to oversee and supervise the dogs.
Wow.
So if you have dogs that are well trained in this category, it makes the world of difference for your opportunities to take them to the beer garden, the park, the barbecue, the outdoor concert in the park. You know, there's a thousand things you can take your dogs to and have fun with. But it's really not fun for other people or fun for you if you're constantly correcting the dog and being disruptive to other people. They can't listen to the music at the park because your dog is knocking over their kids and stealing their hot dogs. It's not charming to other people, and they shouldn't be any more tolerant of that than you would want to be if somebody had an obnoxious toddler running around and not behaving themselves mm-hmm. during a church service. You just have mm-hmm. to have certain expectations that this is societal norms of what we should tolerate and allow.
And I think that right there, expectations, whether it's for our children, for our pets, for our friends, we all have expectations. And it is mm-hmm. not wrong to mm-hmm. have an expectation that your pet or your child or whatever should be reasonably well behaved in a public setting. I mean, that's, you know, mm-hmm. my parents wouldn't even take us to pizza when I was a little kid because, you know, we might not be so proud. And I think that there's lines, right? Like we can get a little carried away in that sort of old fashionedness that I was raised in. Like, I don't think we need to go that far necessarily. I mean, my parents, but I'm saying, you know, there's still lines, right? And we right. can enjoy ourselves and our dogs can enjoy themselves and everyone can have a good time when we spend the time to put some boundaries up for the pets and invest our time, right, mm-hmm. in helping them learn better. And we have some resources. We'll include links in the show notes if anybody wants to look up these resources for various training, for loose leash walking, for Canine Good Citizen, all this kind of stuff that we can absolutely help you do.
Oh, yeah. And the CGC website has some really mm-hmm. important information of how to find a trainer, how to find someone that does the testing, how to get qualified, how to get a PAL number, a PAL number mm-hmm. if you don't have an AKC number for your dog. It has all the information on it. So it's really useful information.
Doggett simplifies the puppy buying journey by connecting families with the perfect breed and responsible, health-verified breeders. They are the only breeder marketplace that verifies health clearances and responsible breeding practices. Through their personalized Puppy Matcher tool and matchmaker services, they educate and guide buyers every step of the way, ensuring a seamless process and a perfect match for their lifestyle. From initial breed consultation to introductions with top breeders, Doggett makes responsible puppy ownership easy and stress-free.
For many years, we raised service dogs for Canine right. Companions for Independence, and that meant my dogs went most everywhere with me, including to mm-hmm. church. And we would leave a church service, and I would have had the freshly bathed, caped dog with proper identification laying on the floor next to the kneeler. And people in the pews in front of us would get up to leave, and they'd turn around and say, "You had a dog in here?" I'm like, "Yeah, he's been here the whole church service, and unless somebody puts the kneeler on his tail, he's quiet and well-behaved and good." And they'd be like, "Can you train my kid? Because my kid isn't as good. It's not as well as trained as your dog." We'd go to the dentist. We'd go to Target. We'd go everywhere with the dogs. And they had to be well-trained and socially acceptable and housebroken and all the mm-hmm. stuff, because our expectations as society have gotten stricter and more strict over the years for what the general public will tolerate out of those kind of creatures, whether it's a kid or a dog or, you know, whatever it happens to be. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important that people know that this tool is here for them, that it's an opportunity for you to learn some of these things. AKC also has a farm dog title,
yes.
which is kind of a parallel to this.
Super
except,
fun.
Yeah, except the dog has to jump on a hay bale and has to walk around farm equipment and has to walk around livestock without chasing it. And it's 12 steps instead of 10, but it's essentially a parallel
right.
for that, and you can get a farm dog title.
Yes. And I think another one that is so fun is a trick dog. You can get a trick dog title.
For sure.
I mean, all of this that we're talking to you guys about, yes, we're telling you about the American Kennel Club because they offer pieces of paper for you for this. And they offer sometimes some guidance on how to train the dogs to do this. But what I'm saying is, whether it's CGC or farm dog or CGC urban, you know, or a trick dog title, whatever it is, all of the things that you do with your pet, no matter if your pet is a best in show winner or a best in couch cuddler, right? No matter what, the pets that you have, the behavior that they exhibit makes your life, their life, and everyone you know's life easier. And these are some tools that you can use to do that.
Oh, for sure. And it can be really fun. And for a while, and I don't know if this is still the case or not, so you probably have to help me with this, mm-hmm. is you could get the trick dog title by submitting videos without having to actually go someplace.
It still can, actually. Yeah. I know they
have
did
to
that
look
during
it up.
COVID, but I'm pretty sure they mm-hmm. can still do trick dog that way. I'm not sure they can do CGC and farm dog that
I don't
way,
think CGC
sure
because you have to meet. You have to meet with other people and have certain things. But mm-hmm. I think the trick dog title, you could submit video get a trick dog title. And there's so many really fun and cool mm-hmm. and exciting mm-hmm. tricks. And then when you have some of these dogs that are really expertly trained along these lines, then you can turn them into a therapy dog where you visit the nursing home once a week. Or you become a library dog for the kids that struggle to read. And your mm-hmm. dog now snuggles mm-hmm. in with the kid at the library and at times that nobody else has time to sit and listen to the child try to learn to read, the dog will just soak it all up. Mm-hmm. Just hang out. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be their dog. Just there are library dogs. There's all kinds mm-hmm. of really fun things that you can do. But the first steps are really the basic obedience of coming when you're called, lying down when you're asked, staying
you
where you're put.
And you don't have to be like a professional dog trainer to train this stuff. It's really pretty straightforward. And there are skills and there are resources that will help you learn the skills to teach your dogs. But I wanted to go back to something you mentioned earlier, because I think this is so, so critical for people to kind of absorb. And you and I both see it. We both travel a lot. And I see it all the time. Everyone wants to buy a puppy. They want a service dog. Whatever it is that they believe the service is, the dog's going to do for them. And I think there is a really serious misunderstanding out there in the world of what a service dog actually is and does. And there are legal, I'm going to ask you to put on your attorney hat now for a minute and talk. There's very serious legal definitions that guide different categories of dogs other than just our best buddy that watches Netflix with us.
Right. So a service dog that's professionally trained service dog is actually a dog that has certain skills, certain criteria, and they're often usually trained by a professional trainer or an organization like Canine Companions for Independence, Guide Dogs International. Those are the seeing eye dogs. There's a number of organizations that have come along and done this. But essentially, these dogs are certified. They've spent 2 years being trained. Most of the time, not all the time, they are bred into a program that they are specifically bred for this. So they have parents that are health screened and parents that are tested for temperament, personality, trainability, tolerance, those kinds of things. And unfortunately, we don't have DNA tests, and I'm not sure. They've talked about trying to develop them for working dogs and service dogs and those things. And those kinds of traits are really difficult to DNA test for. But by breeding dogs that have historically produced good dogs along those lines and then breeding boys to girls that can produce those, it has been a pretty successful program in the number of dogs that are able to graduate. So they come out of these programs professionally trained with the certain supporting literature, like a card or a document that shows that this dog is trained. And yes, you can buy a vest, and yes, you can buy these cards online, but please don't. That just ruins it for everybody that truly, genuinely needs a service dog. And having trained 7 CCI dogs ourselves as our family, I can tell you how important it is that people don't try to sneak a dog onto an airplane or sneak a dog into a facility, that this dog is really not a professionally trained service dog. And it ruins it for the people that really genuinely need these dogs. So don't think that you're cheating the system and that you're smart to do it, because it really isn't fair to the people that are mobility impaired or have other kinds of whatever it happens to be, PTSD or whatever. And one of the limitations is the ADA, the American Disabilities Act, doesn't allow someone to go up to you and say, what is your disability?
Right.
And many disabilities are hidden. So it may not look to you like this person has a disability, but it may be a seizure detection dog or a diabetes detection dog or a PTSD dog. There's so many categories of these dogs. It doesn't necessarily have to be a seeing eye dog to be serving as a service dog. So don't cheat the system. Don't try to cheat the system. Please just don't. But if you have it in your heart that this is important to you, then contact these service dog organizations and get on the list to be a puppy raiser. These organizations are frequently looking, almost all the time, are looking for people that are willing to give up 2 years of their life to train the next service dog. And it is absolutely the most amazing gift that you can give anyone. And I have raised 7 of these dogs. I don't cry at weddings. I don't cry at funerals. I break down in just a fit of, just I'm a mess when I go to a graduation for these dogs, because I watch those dogs walk across the stage and be joined to the person that they have spent the last several weeks training and the last 2 years training to become. And I start to just become a blubbering idiot when I watch that dog graduate with that person, because I know that just forever. Look at you.
I know. That has, I just can't even.
Changed this person's life. And I have handed those dogs off to the next family member. And I have people say to me, well, how do you even do that? How do you give up a dog after 2 years? And you know, going in, the day they're going to be turned in, you know exactly what you're doing. And it is heart-wrenching to give up that dog. But I will tell you, it is the best gift you can give anyone, is a dog that can pick up their keys from the snowbank when they drop them and they can't reach them. A dog that can pull their chair, a dog that can make sure that they know that the baby is crying, you know, whatever it happens to be that gets them across the street safely, whatever their service skill happens to be, it is absolutely an incredible gift. So if you are of the propensity to say, I would like to take a dog lots of places with me, then sign up to be a puppy raiser. There are criteria. They will interview you. They will do all these things. You have to send in monthly reports. You have to do a lot of stuff, but it is the most rewarding gift you can give anyone. So try it. Really encourage you to 100%
agree with that. And I've had conversations on Pure Dog Talk on the other podcasts, talking with folks that are really, really involved in this and really involved in the legalities of it, who work with populations that need these dogs for various reasons. And the idea of an emotional support dog has become almost a punchline, right? Mm-hmm. You know, my emotional support llama.
Peacock.
Right.
Yeah. Peacock.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, I don't joke about that. I know how important our pets are, but those dogs do not have the same access rights that a professionally trained public access service dog does. Mm-hmm. So understand that there are differences and distinctions, and that you're following the rules doesn't harm you, but you're not following the rules does harm other people.
Right. Seriously harms other people. So don't cheat it. Just sign up to be a puppy dog raiser. CCI needs them. Guide Dog needs them. All these organizations, there's a number of them. There's probably one in a community near you that is doing wonderful work. So sign up to be that puppy raiser, and then you have the opportunity to take dogs into places that you ordinarily wouldn't, with all the legal rights that they should have. And it is absolutely incredible. So I would strongly encourage people to look to that right. as their next hobby, their next project, their mm-hmm. next puppy. You know, you only keep them until they're a year and a half or 2 years old, but absolutely an amazing thing to do. So please try it.
Absolutely try that. And if you find that that's just more than you can do, like you can't cycle through dogs every couple of years. I know there's lots of people who can't do that. You know, as a dog handler, I did that on a pretty regular basis. Like it was my dog for 2 years and then I went home. So that's something that I understand. But the work that we were talking about earlier about getting a CGC on your dog, getting a Therapy Dog International, a TDI title for your dog that enables you to do public access work with them, to help other people, to go to nursing homes, to go to the library, to go to wherever. That is another thing that is so unbelievably mm-hmm. rewarding that you mm-hmm. can do with your own dog that you have, mm-hmm. that you don't have to give away, mm-hmm. right? And so
there's a lot you can do.
I just think that people sometimes lose track of what is the overriding principle in their focus on their own comfort. Sorry.
Yeah. But. Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. So there's a lot of options out there. And if we've dinged anything here that you need more information on, let us know, because
we're always happy to help. And we will have resources. I promise. Just go to the website, go to martyandlaura.com. We'll have links in the show notes. And I encourage everybody. I think it would be amazing if every single person out there that owned a pet got a CGC. I just think that is a fantastic
goal. Yeah. And it's attainable. I mean, there's absolutely
100% attainable. Not expensive.
And there's no excuse for your dog not to have the basic skills that this program teaches. Mm-hmm. So take advantage of these training tools and the opportunities mm-hmm. and the little tiny bit of money that it costs to do it. And maybe you'll be the next CGC trainer. Maybe you'll be the next CGC tester. I mean, there's opportunities out there. And socially, it's great for you. So if you're looking for opportunities, social outlets, people that you can meet that are like-minded, these are great resources. And at a time where we have these social isolation issues, this is a wonderful way to meet people that are the right kind of people to hang out with.
Well, they're great people, right?
They're dog people.
They're dog people. And the people that you're helping, you know, being a helper, I think is something that a lot of us are looking for these days, ways to be a helper.
And we need to be relevant. And I will say this, I've said this many times, there are people who own dogs and then there are dog people. And you know who the dog people really are. They're the ones who it's in their soul. So if that's you, here's your chance. Take it and run with it.
Take it and run with it. All right. Thanks, everybody. We really appreciate you stopping by. Always remember, like, share, subscribe. Drop us a note in the comments on social media. If you have anything that you'd like us to cover, we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Marty and Laura Show. We're excited to bring you these unique, fun, fact-based conversations about pet health. From pro tips on selecting your new dog to what your cat's cough means and what you should do about it. We'll meet you wherever you are. In the car, on the treadmill, walking the dog. And we'll bring you a good laugh, a great story, and a bright idea every week. We hope you'll join us on social. Stop by the website to sign up for an extra tip of the week for your pet. While you're at it, do us a favor, please, and leave a review wherever you find your podcasts. The Marty and Laura Show is produced by Pure Dog Talk, Inc., sound design and editing by Premium Audio Services.